Today's reading is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one would tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like wildfire, the Holy Spirit spread through their ranks, and they started speaking in a number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. There were many Jews staying in Jerusalem just then, devout pilgrims from all over the world. When they heard the sound, they came on the run. Then when they heard, one after another, their own mother tongues being spoken, they were thunderstruck. They couldn't for the life of them figure out what was going on, and kept saying, "Aren't these all Galileans? How come we're hearing them talk in our various mother tongues?" Parthians, Medes, Elamites, visitors from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, immigrants from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, even Cretans and Arabs. They're speaking our languages, describing God's mighty works. Their heads were spinning. They couldn't make or tail any of it. They talked back and forth, confused. "What's going on here?" Others joked, "They're drunk on cheap wine." That's when Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. "Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk as some of you suspect. They haven't had time to get drunk. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy, also your daughters. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they'll prophesy. I'll set wonders in the sky above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billowing smoke, the sun turning black and the moon blood red, before the day of the Lord arrives, the day tremendous and marvelous, and whoever calls out for help to me, God will be saved." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. There's a wonderful thing that always happens at really fancy meals. Somebody spills something on the tablecloth. And once that happens, everybody can relax a little bit more. Because the beautiful table no longer has the pressure to remain pristine. Sometimes I pray on Sunday mornings, "God, make something happen that's not in the bulletin." I know I pray that at my own risk. But I love the fact that during the time with young Christians, nice job, by the way, I love the fact that some of the soil spilled onto the carpet. That takes some pressure off. And it's a great visual that you are joining a church that sometimes gets dirty. Someone said, you can tell Christians by the fact that they have dirt under their nails. It means Christians are the ones who get their hands dirty, that go into the world to make a difference, and it's not clean, and it's not pretty, and it's certainly not perfect, and that's the church that you join. This sermon is really for the confirmands, but you who are here, you can eavesdrop in on this. Maybe it'll apply to your life at some level. But confirmands, you know this sanctuary better than most, because you spent an overnight here. You know how loud this place actually is at night when it should be quiet. You can hear the creaking of the building. And I know you know this sanctuary better than most because you played sardines here. Those of you who don't know what sardines is, it's a game that's similar to hide and seek, but the purpose is one person goes and hides somewhere in the church building. And then in every minute or so, one person from the group goes and tries to find them. When they find the person, the goal is to hide with them until the whole group somehow ends up together. And I forget which one of you, we did this in the dark one, was it a Friday? It was a Saturday night in the dark. And there was some great hiding spaces. I think some of you hid up here. I think one of you hid right up here in the pulpit. And nobody knew you were there until one person walked by and I think shrieked when they stood right here because they realized there was someone sitting in there. And what happens in sardines is after a while, you usually just listen for the giggling. And then you can locate where the group is by just tuning in to the giggling that's happening. The purpose is, at the end of the game, everyone's together. Everyone is found. No one is left out. That is the hope and goal of the Holy Spirit, that everyone is found, everyone is included, everyone becomes a part of this giggling, joyous community. That's what happened at Pentecost. Adam, I'm so glad you read that. That was great. You had the toughest passage of the Christian year. All those names, Pamphylians and Phrygians, even Cretans and Arabs, Cappadocians. Wonderful job. All those people from the whole Mediterranean basin were in Jerusalem, and the Holy Spirit came in such a way that they were able to hear each other and understand each other and speak in a way that they could hear and understand. I don't know if everybody got the instant ability to speak languages. Wouldn't that be nice in your Spanish classes? I don't know if it was another language that some call glossolalia and somehow they all understood. It wouldn't surprise me a bit if they took the time to really communicate by playing charades and by playing whatever means they had at their fingertips to communicate that God loves all people. But somehow the Holy Spirit created community that was international. It was cross-cultural. It was multilingual. And from that moment on, the early Christians went out into the world, into language groups and countries and cultures that were foreign to them. The Holy Spirit gave the church the ability to cross borders, to go into new cultures in the name of Christ. And for 2,000 years, that's how the Holy Spirit has worked, giving Christians courage to cross borders. You, confirmands, will cross many borders in your life, not just the kind where you have to show your passport, but the borders between middle school and high school, the borders between friendships and committed relationships, the borders of going from what is familiar to what is unfamiliar, the borders of knowing what you can depend on and going to places where you don't know what to depend on other than God, because sometimes our world just turns upside down and all we can pray is, come Holy Spirit, give us the courage to cross whatever border that is. People who are older, you know some of the borders you've already crossed and you have other borders ahead, and it is the Holy Spirit that gives us the courage to cross from the familiar to the unfamiliar with trust. Now, we've talked about this in confirmation. The Holy Spirit has been with you since you were baptized. Some of you were baptized right here in this sanctuary. Some of you were baptized in other churches. But when you were baptized, your parents brought you to God to say, God, this one, this precious one is yours. And it was an act of trust on your parents' behalf to say to God, we trust you with our precious little one. And there was a community that gathered around you way back when and prayed the Holy Spirit over you. And the Holy Spirit has been in you ever since. Most of the time, we don't even realize the Holy Spirit is at work. But whenever we are given courage to cross a border, to face an unknown, that is the Holy Spirit at work. And when we say yes to the Holy Spirit, and you're invited certainly to do that today at your confirmation, but every day is an opportunity to say yes to the Holy Spirit. When we say yes to God, yes to Jesus, yes to the Spirit, something in us opens up. Something in us opens so that we are more able to love and be loved. Something by God's grace, the movement of the Holy Spirit opens in us and it allows us to more readily be forgiven and forgive. When we say yes to the Holy Spirit, something in us opens up and we know at our core level who we really are. Not what your friends in school think of you, not even what your families think you are. Our true identity is as beloved sons, beloved daughters of God. And it is the Holy Spirit that is always yearning for us to claim that new identity. Claiming is a very important word today. You've studied United Methodist beliefs, membership. You know that today you're going to be joining other brothers and sisters in Christ who have made a commitment to follow Jesus in this church and in this denomination. And 9 million or so of us United Methodists have made a commitment to support this church with our prayers, presence, gifts, service, and witness. But I want to introduce three other words to you and to you about what we are doing today at confirmation. The words are the ABCs of confirmation: affirm, bless, and claim. Now, confirmands, today you are affirming your beliefs as you understand them now at this season in your life. Your beliefs will change. Your beliefs will deepen and grow. But today you affirm what God is doing in your life. You affirm the invitation God has given you for many years to become a full member of this church and an adult Christian. You affirm. You bless. I don't know if you realize this, but you are blessing us in this congregation with your faithfulness, with your vitality, with your vision of what the church can be. I am so grateful for the opportunities we've had to share visions and dreams you have for the church. Church, not only is the future church in good hands, but the present church with these good people in it is in good hands because they have a vision for the church that is inclusive of all people. You bless this church with that vision. Hang on to that vision, because in every age, someone gets excluded, and it's not fair. In every age of the church, someone has been left out, and you have a vision of including everyone in God's love in this church. So hang on to that vision. We need your vision. And today, you claim us. You choose us as your team. And we're grateful that you've chosen us. We need you on this team. God needs you on this team. But you're not the only ones who are affirming, blessing, and claiming. Congregation, you do as well. Today, you affirm what God is doing in these good and faithful young people. And they may depend on that affirmation, because there will be times where they will doubt and wonder if God is really doing all this. Today, you will bless them with your words, with your commitment to surround them with a community of love and forgiveness. I don't know any other community out there that makes such a commitment. Trustees, I've got to tell you something. How many trustees are here? How many former trustees are here? Okay. So when I met with them, I said, now, the congregation's going to make a commitment to you to surround you with a community of love and forgiveness. That means that if you ever do something wrong, by mistake, break something here, and the trustees say, the kids did the... You can remind them, right? Didn't I tell you this? You can remind them, hey, you told us that you would surround us with a community of love and forgiveness. If we can learn that here, if we can learn how to surround each other with a community of love and forgiveness, we'll be doing God's work. And then we can take that vision out into the world. Today, you're not only affirming and blessing, you're claiming these young people. You're saying, these are ours. They're on our team. They're in our family. And we're going to walk with them through good times and through difficult times. But more important than that, not only are the confirmands doing the ABCs of confirmation, not only are we as a congregation doing the ABCs of confirmation, but here's the most important part. God, the God who created you and all of life, the Jesus who came to show us how to really live, who redeems the world, the Holy Spirit who sustains us and empowers us and encourages us, that God affirms you. That God blesses you. That God claims you, embraces you, and says, this one is mine. And there's nothing you can do that is going to scare God away. From this day forward, God will claim you as God's own beloved daughters and sons. God has been doing that for many years, but today something opens in that relationship. Let me be one of many that say to each of you, I see God at work in your lives, whether you see it or not. I see God at work in your lives. And we pray that God will continue to bless you, affirm you, and claim you, not only today, but every day, from now until eternity. Amen.